Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we magnify you. We glorify you, God. I'm asking, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you have your cell phones, if you could put them on the silent and opposition. I've entitled this morning's message, Think on These Things. Think on what things? You know, before I started putting this message together, Yolanda brought to my attention the other day, and, you know, a great founder, one of the founders of Victory Outreach, his name was Pastor Sonny, and they did a celebration of life up there, I believe in the Los Angeles area, and Nikki Cruz gave the message. And what she showed me was, because a lot of the Victory Outreach churches went there to celebrate his life, because he was a wonderful man of God. Matter of fact, I personally came to visit him a couple times when he was still over there on, well, they're still there on 43rd. But Nikki Cruz, who basically was raised up under Dave Wilkerson, and Nikki Cruz and Pastor Sonny both came out of that ministry from Teen Challenge, that ministry from Dave Wilkerson. So Nikki was asked to bring the message, and he gave an altar call. And he was calling out the church, and there was thousands there. And over half of them came to the altar. And these are members. And he was calling out backsliders. He was calling out so many people that I was going, oh my gosh. He must have gave three altar calls to backsliders, to those who have drifted away, those who have walked away, those who are lukewarm, those who have no longer a desire to read God's word. And that altar was flooded. And then he said, I'm not going to leave because there's some of you that are out there that are still prideful that won't come to this altar. He waited for them. And then there was another handful that came up. The ones that the pride had to be destroyed. Wow. Incredible. Sister Josie with us? Yes. You were there, weren't you? To the celebration of life. And Nikki Cruz brought the word. And he gave an altar call. And people came and flooded that altar. Yolanda showed it to me. You know what? God spoke to me. This is why I'm going to bring this message here this morning. You know why? There's a lot of people that have drifted away. Lukewarm. He even called for the backsliders. He called for those who were prideful. Amen. And there was all kinds of people at that celebration of life. Amen. It you know what it spoke to me? It spoke to me, this is the condition of the church today.
Yeah, that's right.
Not just their church, the church around the world. God's church.
Yeah.
And the times that we live in. Did you know we're about ready to break into a war with China?
Yeah.
You know they're ready to bomb us? I'm telling you right now, we are living in, I'm talking turbulent times like no other. Ever since Trump put the tariffs on them, there are some really mad Chinamen. Oh, yes. It's going to happen. And they're, guess what they're doing? They're stockpiling their nuclear bombs right now, and they're loading up their ships. Oh yeah, no one talks about that, huh? No one talks about that.
Talk about it.
And God had to warn us the other day with an earthquake. How many of you felt that one? Oh, come on. Yes. So this message this morning, it's not just for those who have drifted away. It's not just those who have fallen away. This is for those who are struggling even in their sin. Did you know that people struggle in their sin with pornography, with lust, with alcoholism, with drug abuse? And one of the reasons why is because they don't have enough God in them. You see, if you start reading God's word and putting his word in you, guess what? Now you'll have the armor of God to fend off those things, because you can't do it on your own strength.
That's right.
You can't will it away. You can't just go in a room and say, you know, I'm going to dry up. That craving is insatiable. That craving for sin is always going to be there. The only way to combat that thing is putting more God in you.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Putting the word in you. Meditate on the word. See, King David knew exactly what to do when his enemies were what? Chasing him. When Saul was chasing him. You guys been watching the series, The House of David? Probably one of the best series I've ever seen. They put that well together. It's on Amazon Prime. If you haven't seen it, man, that first episode will draw you in. I won't give it away. You got to watch it. But I want us to go to the Word, because the Word of God will set us free. Can I get amen? It's the Word of God that will captivate your mind and keep your heart in perfect peace with God. You see, when you're in perfect peace with God and you're filled with the Spirit of God and you've got His Word built in you, that's going to be your defense to the things of this world. Now you know how to, because Paul said, man, when I got saved, I didn't realize there's a war in my members. Because the things that he didn't want to do, he did. And the things that he did, he didn't want to do. He goes, oh, wretched man, who can save me from this body of flesh? Only God can. The world system has no answers. I'm sorry. Dr. Phil, Oprah, they have no answers for you. Dr. Spock, I don't care how many self-help books you read. I don't care what psychiatrist you go to. I don't care what you do. The only thing that's going to set you free is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is Genesis to Revelation. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 8. We're going to read those two verses. Look at this. It's right here on the board for you. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, look at that, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Meditate on that. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, if you put more God in you, guess what? Then the less of you is going to be the focus. Oh, come on. Before I got saved, I got saved at the age of 30. I was involved in my fourth rehab. And I like how G would put it. I was there faking the funk. Everyone thought I had quit doing dope and all that, but yeah, man, when doors were closed, I was still slinging it. Still snorting it. Until I met Jesus. Until I had a true encounter with the living God.
That's right. Thank
Because then he set me free. And then I filled my mind and my soul with the knowledge of the Word of God. And he set me on a new course now. A new path. I was talking to a good friend, Brother Ray Wattis, last night. He was part of Brothers in Christ when we got saved. And he goes, Pastor Fee. He goes, I remember those days. He goes, God has kept us.
Amen.
Yes, he has. When you get saved, he will keep you. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So, how many of you have a GPS in your car? And you got them on your what? On your iPhone? Your Androids, right? So when you plug in the address of your desired destination, saints, each turn by turn, the direction, it leads you closer to where you want to go, right? And they're pretty accurate. Why? Because it's all satellite driven. And so the GPS on your device considers where you are, and it provides instructions and directions where you want to go. Praise God. That's the role of the navigating system. The role of the traveler is to trust the map maker and direction giver. Someone had to create that, right? Amen? So you have to trust who created that system, and now they plug it into the satellite, and now it directs you. Amen? You have to trust that. Just imagine you type in an address, and you're just going to Chula Vista. It's taking you to Hummel. Something's out of order, right? Well, so you trust that system. It'll take you from point A to point B. Willing to turn when needed and obey the instructions that are given on it. Well, guess what? God is the map maker. And the Bible is our map of life. This is our GPS. Can I get amen? The Word of God. God in His Word, it guides us in the direction we ought to walk to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our lives. So you and I, we can trust the Word of God. And guess what? He has been leading us. The Bible says we're pilgrims passing through. You know that we're only here temporarily. You know, our life is only but so long. You know, praise God, my dad lived till he was 96. But my mom died when she was 62. And so we don't know when that final day will come. But we know one thing, that day will come. Should he hold off his return for us? So if God tarries, we can guarantee that we're only given so many years and then we go back to the dust. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So while you're young right now, enjoy your youth.
Amen.
Enjoy it. Some of you are still in your 30s, maybe early 40s. Enjoy it. Until I got to my late 50s and 60s, I didn't know what pain was. Now everything hurts. I don't just spring out of bed, I roll out. They said, just jump out, let's go. And so we can trust God in His Word. And He knows how to get us from where we need to be and where He is leading us to. Can I get an amen? So, one of the things right up here. Number one, we're going to have 6 points. I'll go through them quickly. Number one. Meditate on God's Word. Meditate on His Word. You know what meditate means? Just read it. And then ask God, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me, God? You know, God will speak to you. I remember this one guy. He goes, man, God don't speak today. Yes, He does. I said, I go, why don't you challenge God? Go in your room one night. And just sit in your room, nobody there, and just start talking to God. Say, God, are you real? Will you show yourself to me? He said his room lit up and the glory of God came in. And for a moment he got startled, but then the peace was beyond his comprehension. And God touched him that night and he was changed. God is real. He's as real as the air you breathe outside. Listen, here's the thing. You can walk outside and you can feel that wind because it's kind of windy. You can feel that wind, but can you see it? You can't see wind, can you? You can feel it. Well, the Holy Spirit's the same way. You can feel His presence when He comes upon you, but you can't see Him. It's like the wind. So what we allow to occupy our thoughts and influence our reason is extremely important, especially in the times that we live in. See, back in the day when Paul the Apostle wrote the majority of the epistles, when Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote down the things of Jesus, they didn't have in that day what we have today. We have one of the biggest distractions, I think, ever given to mankind, and that is that phone. You ever go to the mall? People are not even looking in your eyes no more. They're just walking around like this. Nothing's real no more. They're just looking on their phone. And what are they looking for? How many likes they got? Wow. But there, let me just say this. When I was a kid, I grew up in National City, 1927 Orange Street. You remember. And when we were kids, on 8th Avenue and National Boulevard, there was a Mario's pizza. And they had those torpedoes in the window. And man, you could smell the pizza. But right across the street from there, there was a theater that all the naval base would go to. It was Paris Blank Cat. It was where X-rated movies were played. Right? And you don't want to be... You didn't want to be caught going in there, right? But they didn't care. I mean, they walked in there with their military office. They went in there and just sat in there. But for us, you don't want to be caught in that. Well, the devil said, okay, I'm going to make it so easy for you. I'm going to put it on your phone. And that has entrapped millions of people, entrapped them to pornography, to transgenderism, to homosexuality. They can't get off it. And so the only deliverance, the only way they're going to be ever set free from that is God's word. Because the more you put God in it, the less you want to do those things. But if you're not reading your word, you're not meditating, you're not in prayer, those things will overwhelm you and overtake you. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. Did you know that the enemy wants to destroy your life? If you're a called out saint of God, you have a mark on you and the enemy wants to come and destroy you. Why? Because you're the only one that will open your mouth and share with people about Jesus. Unbelievers won't share Jesus with nobody. So there is a plan of the enemy. But the way you combat that plan is God's word. Look what it says right here. King David wrote this down in Psalms 1:1-2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know what law means in Hebrew? The word. It means God's word, the commandments of God. That's what the law of the Lord means. And his law, he meditates day and night. In other words, King David, or David at the time, knew that in order for him to get peace, especially Saul, who was trying to kill him, was jealous of the anointing, he had to find peace through God. Look what Joshua wrote. Remember when Moses was not allowed to go into where? The promised land. So he laid hands and he anointed Joshua to lead the people in. Look at this in Joshua 1:4. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with you, says God. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of what? Good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land of which I swore to their fathers what? To give them. Now look at this. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to the according to all the law. There he goes, the commandments, the word of God, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may what? Prosper wherever you go. You want to prosper in life? You want the things that God has given us that we can enjoy on this planet till He comes for us? If you prosper in the Lord, He will open up doors that no man can shut. You don't have a job, He'll supernaturally allow you to get a nice job. You've been praying for a spouse, get close to God. He'll bring you a godly person that will love you, and you'll learn to love them. Listen, God wants the best for your life. But you know what? The key is being in the Word of God. Because the world has nothing to offer. Nothing. It had nothing for me. Look at verse 8. This book, what book? The Word of God. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way what? Prosperous. And then you will have good success. Listen, God cannot lie. If God says this will happen to you, then you can take it to the bank. You can believe God's word. This is what God wants for your life. Did you know that God's for us, not against us? Did you know that God created us for His glory? Did you know that He takes great pleasure to work in us and through us? How many are so blessed to know that? Even though we sin as human beings because of Adam, He doesn't take a bat from heaven and beat us on the head. He doesn't stamp us out like roaches. You ever seen a roach? The first thing you want to do is step on its head. Or run. How many are so thankful that God doesn't do that to us? He's a God that has mercy and compassion toward us, His people. And He wants the best for your life. Look what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy. Look at this. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go to verse 9 still here in Joshua. I'm sorry, I went too fast. Look at verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I remember when I was 18 years old, my senior year, I graduated from Kearney High School because I got kicked out of Sweetwater. But I graduated, praise God. And I was given an opportunity to go to the Philippines. And so that whole Christmas vacation, you know how you get about 2 weeks in December? I had an opportunity to go to the Philippines. And I'd never been there. I had an opportunity to go visit my grandfather. And I remember my grandmother, she prayed for me. She goes, "Don't be afraid. God is with you." I didn't know who God was. I was an unbeliever. But she prayed for me and says, "God will be with you. Don't worry. Just go and enjoy yourself." I remember that she prayed for me. And now that I'm 66 years old, born again, loving God, now I understood that when I was there, God was with me. God was with me. Because the places that my brother-in-law took me, a lot of those places people don't come back. Especially downtown called McSightside, where all these clubs are. And I didn't look like them. That's when I had still long hair and I had a ponytail. They knew I wasn't from there. But God was with me. God didn't allow anything to happen to me there. God is good. How many believe God is good? How many of you can recall in your life where God spared you? Huh? Because He was with you. He didn't allow anything to happen to you. Look what Paul wrote to Timothy right here. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. To like come, give attention, reading to exhortation, to doctrine. Look at this. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. You see, when God is using you mightily, He wants to use you just like this. He wants people to see God using you mightily. Look at verse 16 says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Doctrine means teaching. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Did you know that your godly conduct will cause someone to question? What's with you, man? You don't curse no more. You don't drink no more. You don't do these things no more. You don't go out and do these things. I never see you angry anymore. I just see you at peace. That's when you can share the love of God and said, this is not me. This is God who's living in me. Can I get an amen? Now you can give God all the glory. Oh, you remember back in the day before you got saved? Man, someone looked at you funny, you would say, what up? Oh, come on. Come on. It's like, what up? Help us, God. Jesus, help us. It was like that, though, wasn't it? Until Jesus came. Hallelujah. And Jesus came and set us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Woo, thank you, God. Our second point is this right up here. Obey God's word. Okay, now you read it. Now, can you learn to obey it? You know, you can instruct someone, but will they believe and obey the instruction? I remember when the first DVD player came out, way back in the day. Okay? Remember it was VCR? And man, I was having a hard time to hook that thing up to the TV, and then it didn't dawn on me. I got to read the instructions. I thought I could just wing it. No, you know, it laid out the instructions, and you know, and now you could just do it with your blindfoldedly, you know. But back then, everything was all modern. It was a modern thing. You never saw anything like it. For some of you, you guys were still in diapers when the DVD came out. But my problem was I failed to read the instructions. You see, the practice of meditating on God's word moves us toward obedience. When you start reading God's word, you'll now learn how to be obedient to God because you'll hear His voice through reading His word. We must know His word so we can obey His word. Can I get amen? Without knowing His word, how can you obey something? A remarkable series of events took place just after Nehemiah finished rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem. You remember Nehemiah? Remember they were in captivity? Why were they in captivity? Why was the whole nation of Israel in captivity? Because they fell away. They were disobedient. So God allowed a country to come in and conquer them, the Babylonians, and took them all away. Just imagine. I need you to just picture this just for a quick thought. Just imagine another country overtaking our nation and took us into captivity. You know that's what China wants to do? You know that's what Russia wants to do? You know these other countries, they hate us. They hate us because of our freedom here. Oh no. They want our goods. But they hate our lifestyle. In Nehemiah had to do two things. He went to go build the wall again, and in the other hand, he had a sword. So as he was building the wall, he was fighting at the same time. It's amazing. Let's go there and just read these few verses that I found in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9:32, look at this. Now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, and awesome God, who keeps covenant and mercy, do not let all the trouble seem small before you that has come upon us. Our kings and our princesses, our priests and our prophets, our fathers and all your people from the days of the kings of Assyria until this day. Look at this, verse 33. However, you are just in all that has befallen us, for you have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. This is what got them in bondage. So he's confessing now that the nation did wickedly. Wow. Wickedly. Neither our kings, nor our princesses, our priests, nor our fathers have kept your law. In other words, they didn't keep the word of God. They started doing their own thing. And this is why when I saw that Victory Outreach video, and Nikki Croons did three altar calls and said, all of you in here have backslidden. Sister, you were there. Yolanda brought that to my attention. I go, oh my God. And God was speaking to me. He said, this is the condition of the church. People would rather not even open up the word of God and just follow the course of this world. The movies are violent. Cursing words. Fornication. Every movie now, there's someone fornicating in a movie, meaning sleeping without marriage. Homosexuality, transgender. It's all invaded our culture. There's no more righteousness no more. And so when Israel became like that, God allowed the enemies to come and conquer them and took them into captivity. So look what he's saying here. You have dealt faithfully, but we have done wickedly. Neither our kings nor princes, our priests, our fathers have kept your law, nor heeded your commandments and testimonies with what you testified against them. Look at this in verse 35. For they have not served you in their kingdom or in many good things that you gave them, or in the large and rich land which you set before them, nor did they turn from their wicked works. Here we are, servants today, and the land that you have gave to our fathers to eat its fruit and its bounty, here we are, servants in it. Wow. Servants in it. Look at verse 37. And it yields much increase to the kings you have set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and our cattle and their pleasure, and we are in great distress. Because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. Our leaders, our Levites, and our priests seal it. What happened here is they got together. Nehemiah got a lot of the leaders of Israel and said, you know why we're in this condition? Because we strayed away. So what you see here, when he gathered everyone, they made a covenant with God. Said, God, we turn from our wicked ways. We're turning back to you. And when that happened, the Babylonians let them, they were free to go back to the land. And Nehemiah came to build the wall. And Jerusalem was reestablished again. Wow. They had to come to a place of repentance. They had to come to a place and say, we have sinned against God. I got saved at the age of 30. But all those years prior to that, I was a lost cause. You couldn't tell me to do right, because I would do the opposite until God got a hold of my heart. And this is what I love about God. He gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Did you know that God doesn't give up on you? How many are so blessed that He didn't give up on you? Amen. Hallelujah. He doesn't give up. He pursues us. He chases after you because He knows that we live in a fallen world. He knows we live in a body of flesh that's sinful. He knows all that. So He comes to pursue us, to draw us back to Him so He can bless our life.
Thank you, Lord.
See, people got a wrong mistake of church. Did you know church is a hospital? Is where we come in to get restored, because life in itself has sold us a bad of goods. I mean, just nothing good. The only thing that I can honestly say that I'm thankful for is my parents and my grandparents. I love them to death. I know you love your parents to death. They brought and gave you life, right? But the course of this world, the direction, the mindset, the culture of this world is totally against God. And that's why God came to save us from all that. See, those who had resettled in the land of Judah came together to celebrate the feast again, especially the Feast of Trumpets. And during that celebration, Ezra read from the law. It was Ezra who read that. As the people listened, they mourned and they wept, and they realized that they had not obeyed God's word. What they did next is noteworthy, saints. They rightly confessed their sins, studied God's word in order to learn what He required of them, and obeyed what they had learned. How many have you watched The House of David?
Man, that's awesome.
Not yet.
I haven't finished it.
Okay. But Samuel, in the first episode, it's in the book of Samuel. We're going to read the scripture right now.
Amen.
So when you watch that first episode, I'm going to read you what took place in that episode right now. Let's look at this for a moment. In 1 Samuel 15:22, look at this. Then Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold," look at this, "behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king." You see, what happened is King Saul, back during the time of David, he wasn't appointed by God. Who appointed Saul? The people did. They wanted a king because all the other heathen nations, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, and all the termites, all of them, they all had a king. And Israel goes, "Why come we don't have a king?" They didn't want God to lead them no more. So they said, "We want this guy to lead us." And this guy did everything opposite what God instructed him to do. And so the prophet Samuel had to come face to face with King Saul and told him, because you have rejected the truth, you have rejected the word, God has rejected you. Let me just say this. I'm going to say as politely as I can. You know how you become like Saul, where God just rejects you? When you have nothing to do with God. You don't open his word, you don't pray, you don't go to church, you have basically rejected him. And so he rejects you. In other words, you're on your own. Things happen, you're on your own. Why? Because you're not close to him. Just imagine. Some of you have precious mothers. Just imagine if you never spoke to her again. Just imagine if you didn't come over for a nice meal that she would prepare for you and hug her and tell you and tell her how much you love her. But nobody does that for God. And yet God created us. Are you catching what I'm saying? If he created us, why shouldn't we be close to him? He formed us out of the dust. From Adam and Eve. They were the first. And then mankind came from them. Our parents, our grandparents were down there from Adam and Eve. It spread out. The tree that came down to us. I was born in 58. I don't know what year you were born. But God is saying today, draw close to him. Know who he is. You're going to want to know who he is, especially in your latter years. Right now, oh, I'm young, man. Yeah, man. You know, yeah. Listen. Some of you are probably young and fit and could still go to Sweetwater and run 5-6 laps around their field and not even be winded. I'll walk a quarter of a block and be winded. Come on, as you get older, your body starts to wear and tear. We're not going to be here forever. We're here but for a moment. And so if we're here for a moment, why not draw close to your maker? My goodness. Look at this. God calls us to attend to all his word. All of his word. Since his plan is for us to be like him and the way to do it is revealed in God's word, attend to all his word then. All of it. Every instruction, command, or principle found in the Bible appears intentionally for us, for you, for me. We cannot overlook or undervalue an instruction or challenge from his word because it challenges. You know what God's word challenges? Our comfort, our current lifestyle, our tradition, or even our previous experience. It challenges us. Oh, yes, it does. Sometimes it challenges our comfort zone. To neglect a piece of his word is to be incomplete in our transformation. How many of you want to be transformed by his word? Only way you're going to be transformed is through his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I, saints, we're called to obey all his word and to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. How many believe that? I found two scriptures, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. But look at Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And now look what Jesus wrote in Matthew. And you know what that's called? What we just read? Let's go back. That's called the Shema. The Shema in Hebrew, meaning to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Now, look at Matthew 22. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Is there any more to this one? No, yes. Now, let me just say this. Why does Jesus say this is the first and great commandment? In the Old Testament, this is a trivia question. How many commandments were there in the Old Testament? No, I'm talking about all of them, not just the 10. 613. Those were 613 laws that the Jews were commanded to keep. Jesus said if you break one, you broke them all. So how do you keep them all? You can't. It's impossible. And so if you ever want to know how many laws there were, break open a pomegranate. You know, you go to the store and get a pomegranate, cut it open, count all the seeds. There's always 613 seeds in that pomegranate. Yes. So the Jews, the rabbis, they made their robes, and on the bottom of their robe are little pomegranates. You know why? Because that was 613 laws that were written back then. But Jesus went on further and said, the greatest commandment is not those. The greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. That's the greatest commandment. You know why? Because all the commandments, the 613, they all hinge on those. Because here's the thing. If you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, all those 613 fall in those two. Because when you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, guess what? You'll love to do those things that he's asking you to do because you have a love relationship with him. It's not the do's and don'ts. Remember when you were a kid? You were given do's and don'ts. You better have this room clean at this time. You better pick up your shoes. You better blah, blah, blah. And if you don't, you're gonna get a nalgada. You know, we had rules, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm.
They were laid for us. But God says he knew we couldn't keep one of them. So he said, just to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, then all these commandments, the Ten Commandments, all 613, fall into those right there. And then God has you covered. You know why? Because when you break one of them and you're in love with God, he'll cleanse you and wash you and forgive you. That's what I love about him. He makes a way of escape. It's impossible to keep any one of those laws. Did you know you can sin in your mind? Oh, that's right. You know what Jesus said? He said, I believe it was in the book of John. He said, even if you look upon a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery. What? Just thinking. Because our mind is sinful. So the only thing... Our only ammunition is God's word. And to have our heart right with him, say, God, spare me from your wrath. Thank you for saving a wretch like me. Thank you for washing me and cleansing me in your blood. And so there's benefits. Did you know there's benefits? There's benefits of obeying God's word. We're going to go quickly now. God's word is just brimming with all kinds of benefits. And we must consciously choose what we listen to, saints. What we watch. What we think about. What we meditate on. Why? Because those choices will shape who you are. Look at this right up here. I put this up there. If you are depressed or anxious much of the time, Look at this. What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you thinking about? What are you meditating on? Did you know the movies now on Netflix and Amazon Prime and whatever, streaming movies, whatever, did you know that there are more murders than the history of Hollywood? People are blowing each other up constantly. There's violence, bloodshed, murder, adultery, fornication. And now every commercial has accepted, this culture has accepted what God says is an abomination. Homosexuality and transgender. You know, when 9 o'clock rolls around, they got medicine that they push on. The pharmaceuticals push medicine on you to keep homosexuals alive because they end up getting AIDS. So they got all these new drugs to keep them alive, to keep their sin going. Jesus, help us. This is the time that we live in. I know you don't want to hear truth, but this is the truth of the matter. You're not going to hear this on the street. You're not going to hear this on TV. But you're going to hear it here in the Word of God. So if you want perfect peace, look what Isaiah 26:3 says. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts you. If you learn to trust God, he'll keep you in perfect peace. Look at King David wrote in Psalms 119. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. This is your medicine. It's not what the doctor prescribes, do you? God will keep you in perfect peace. Look at number 5. God will make our way prosperous and give us good success. How many of you want to be prosperous and good success? Some of you are young and just starting out in life. Man, you have a whole life ahead of you. Do you know God wants to bless you in your life?
Yeah, I guess he does.
If I could go back when I was just graduating out of high school, I would do it his way now, because now I know his way. I wouldn't have been a knucklehead. Some people are trapped because they decided just to stay a knucklehead. The Lord told Joshua to meditate on his law and obey it. Look at Joshua 1:8 right here. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way what? Prosperous. And then you will have what? Some success? No, good. Good. God's promise of prosperity and success was not given for earthly pursuits, material possessions, or temporal gain. It was given to those whose goal is to be like the Lord God. Hallelujah. When you become more like the Lord God Almighty, God will prosper you. You know why? Because he will take care of all your needs according to his riches and glory. I know some people that they depend on their earthly job, and they what happens when you get laid off? Nothing's permanent here on this earth. Can I get amen? Look what it says in Deuteronomy. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land you shall possess. Did you catch that? Prolong your days. Let me just say this. If I'm only going to use what I know and what I've seen. My dad would never want to come to church. I've always asked him, Dad, come on. And then one day, Pastor Leo at Mission Valley gave me an opportunity to preach on his behalf. And my brother Dale said, Dad, come on, Fee's going to preach for the first time. You got to come. Finally, he came. And I didn't know he was there. We were at the United Methodist Church building right across from Sayhouse, on right there on Freeway 8. There's a big church. We would use that Wednesday nights. I gave an altar call after I brought my message. And I looked. And way down there, because there was about 500 people in there. I looked at the very end. And there was Dale walking up with my dad. My dad. I go, Dad. I saw him. And I beelined to him. I jumped off the stage and I ran through the altar. There was a lot of people, man. They had tears and they were giving their heart to Christ. And I had to press through there. And I ran up to my dad. And I said, Dad, I'm so happy that you came. And he had tears in his eyes. I go, Dad, what can I pray for? He goes, Placido, I want to get saved. Amen. Oh, my gosh. My dad was 80. My dad was 80. That Friday night, we came and baptized him in our jacuzzi. And God allowed him to live another 16 years. And he was in the front row right here. Man, he was so on fire for God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, he was lit up like a tree. Because the Holy Ghost got a hold of him. And man, he was a joy. You know what? I wanted to be around him every day. Because, you know, back in the day, my uncle knows. My dad used to come home with the belt. I told you, kid. Man, my dad was the disciplinary guy, man. He would come and give us the belt. I have 11 brothers and sisters. We all ran around like a fire drill. And he used to come home, man. He had to whip us. And I always had those memories of, man, I remember, man. I just remember. But when he got saved, I felt a renewal of love for him like I never had before. And I just wanted to be close to him. Hallelujah. And God gave me another 16 years with him. God is so faithful. God is faithful. You know, it's never too late. Did you know it's never too late? He was 80. He used to always tell me, oh, you got your religion, I got mine. You know, he was a Catholic. He didn't want nothing to do with what we were involved in. Until that day he came. And the Holy Spirit touched his life. My goodness. My goodness. Look at Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, that is what brings wealth, and he gives health with it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you hope. And a future.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
A hope and a future. Praise God. Look at 1 Kings. If you walk in my ways and obey my instructions, you and your descendants will have a prosperous life. How many can't wait for that kind of life? Huh? And I go to our last point, number 6. Oh, right up here. I will be thankful for the benefits of God's word. How many are thankful?
Amen.
How many are thankful?
Yes. So thankful.
Thank you, God. You know why? Because his word gives light to our path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Look at this. His word orders our steps. Psalms 119:133, direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Praise God. His word brings understanding to our minds. Praise God. And I close with this scripture. The entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Saints, I'm here to let us know that if we truly take God's word seriously, if we truly open up the word and be in his presence and take more God in, he will bless you beyond comprehension. But you know what it starts with? Surrendering your life to God. Giving your heart to him. Saying, God, I can't do this on my own strength. I need you. So saints, I'm going to ask you all to pray with me. So I can pray for those. I want to welcome Facebook and YouTube, those who are watching right now. We thank and praise God for each and every one of you. And I pray for those who couldn't make it out this morning. There's quite a few out that are sick, couldn't make it. A family that's normally here, I believe one of their nephews is getting baptized somewhere. So pray for them. The Spirit of God falls on them. Amen. You remember when you got baptized? Man. It was joy unspeakable and full of glory. But maybe you've never given your heart to Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray. To pray with me, to pray for you. That God will have a plan for you. That God will do something mighty in your life. And so pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Woo, is he worthy? Saints of God, I'm...
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.